Hello and welcome to the call. For those of you who don't know me, I am Dotsie Bregel, founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com, and boomerwomenspeak.com, and that's plural, boomerwomenspeak.com, the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering boomer women, which happens to be my generation. Since launching boomerwomenspeak.com 5 years ago, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting boomer women on a daily basis. I have my finger on the pulse of this spirited generation, and I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live life to the fullest. I have become the go-to person for journalists who are interested in learning more about boomer women, and my prayer is to embrace all women and provide them with the means to soar. If you're listening and you are not a member of the NABBW, the fee to join is $75. However, if you would like to join and you're listening to this call, please email me at dots, that's D-O-T-S at N-A-B-B-W, and I will send you a reduced link to join for $60. This teleseminar is an example of the many that are archived in our member-only area at NABBW.com. All of our past teleseminars are free when you join us. You can either listen to them or read them because we also have them transcribed. Okay, let's see. This call is the first in our Midlife Entrepreneurs Launching Boomer Businesses March series. Today we have with us Amy Grossman, and she's going to teach us how to master the marketing know-how for our boomer business. No, I'm sorry. Today we're working on creating a vision statement for the boomer business. So anyway, let me tell you a little bit about Amy. Amy is known as the MBA with a Heart, and she's the founder of the Boomer Business Launcher, which can be found at boomerbusinesslauncher.com, and she helps women in midlife to start or grow a business of their own. With the Boomer Business Launcher Discovery and Jumpstart programs, women now have a step-by-step method for creating a business that lets them live their purpose and earn a profit. Amy built a million-dollar business that benefited the community and shares what she knows with scores of boomer women who want to start or grow a business of their own. So she's here with us today to talk about how to create a vision statement for our business. And in this class, you'll actually be able to begin writing your vision statement, and then hopefully by the end, you'll come away with a method that will enable you to complete writing it on your own. So Amy, hello and welcome to the call.
Hi, Dotsie. Happy to be here.
Well, good, good. I'm hoping you're going to help us out today because there are certainly many boomers at midlife who are reinventing themselves. Many have climbed the corporate ladder and have now chosen to take their skills and knowledge and do something on their own. And others have raised children and have finally had the kids leave the nest and decided it's time to do something different, something they're excited and passionate about. So, we're also learning more and more all the time that boomers really aren't retiring, they're reinventing themselves. The ones that are retiring might take a few months off before they turn around and begin a new endeavor. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to this call, and why don't we just get started?
Great.
Okay, do you have anything to add before we get started? Anything about what's on your site or what you have to offer the people on the call as far as the template or anything like that?
Yes, I do. On the website, I do have a template. It's a fill-in-the-blanks template to help you write your vision statement. So if you go to www.boomerbusinesslauncher.com, look under free stuff, and you will find it there. You can print it out and write it up as we go through this call. You might get some ideas about it. It will give you a good start for writing your vision statement. And as a special offer to you, once you write a first draft of it, you can email it to me, and I'll review it and respond back. And
okay.
My email is amy@boomerbusinesslauncher.com.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, Amy, why don't you tell us the six parts of a vision statement? I know you have it broken down, and you know that can help us consider how to go about this.
I will. I just wanted to say one thing first about the purpose of a vision statement, and that is that it gives direction for your company. It's insight into the future. It's the motivation and the reason for your business to exist. And it answers the question, what business am I building? So the vision is about the future, and it charts your business destination. You wouldn't get onto a plane without knowing its destination. Well, you're the pilot of your business. Where are you taking it? So these six parts of the vision statement will give you food for thought. I mean, the vision statement itself is going to be a wonderful tool for you, but the thinking that goes into it is really the tremendous value. So here's your opportunity to do that. So here are the six parts, and I'll just name them briefly, and then we can go into them in more depth as we go through the call.
Okay.
Okay. So the first part is that you want to think about how many years into the future you're looking. The vision statement says within the next X number of years, you're going to grow your company into a certain into what it's going to look like. So number one, you have to think about the years. And typically it's 3, 5, 7, or 10 years. And Dotsie, as you mentioned, people are working longer. And the Kauffman Foundation has forecast that actually we boomers are going to be working 10, 15, even 20 years longer than our parents' generation.
Yeah, well, we're living longer, and I think I know. I've watched some of the Greatest Generation retire too soon, and I think they recognize it like 5 years into it, and then it's kind of, you know, they didn't really jump back into anything else. So I think we're learning from seeing our parents because they're actually living longer than they expected, and now we're going to live even longer. So, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, that's a lot of years to just kind of hang out and play golf or, you know, whatever pleasurable things we want to do. So,
exactly. So, in fact, we might spend as much time, the same length of time, in this new business we create as we did in our former career. It
yeah.
could be a totally whole second career in life. So that's number one, the number of years. Number two is your company name. Mm-hmm. That's straightforward enough. The third is the geographic scope. You know, with the Internet today, anyone can have a global business, and maybe that's what you'll have. But then again, maybe you want it to be community-based or regional or local. And it's a good idea to think of that scope now because that's a defining characteristic of your business. The next thing, which we'll really talk about, is revenue. The total money the business will earn in the year that you're projecting out to. So within 3 years, grow XYZ company to a certain dollar figure revenue. That's what it means when you're at that third year. That's the revenue that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The next two parts really are the what and the who. What do you offer? And who is your client or customer?
Okay. So that's the same as who is your audience.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yes, or your target market.
Right. Okay.
So to summarize, there are six parts to this fill-in-the-blanks template, which prompts you to really think deeply about the future of your business, where you want it to be in the future. So you have the number of years that you're envisioning forward, the name of your company, the geographic scope, the revenue of your company at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
your products or services, and your audience.
Okay. Okay. All right. So how about talking a little bit about the role that personal values plays in a business vision?
Yeah. That's really a good point to think about. I mean, here we are at midlife with all of our life wisdom, our work experience, our maturity, our self-knowledge. wouldn't it be wonderful to take all of that and realize the values that that has been built on and that mean so much to us, and use that as the foundation of our business and a total reflection of our business?
And I would say that that changes too. I mean, if you think of starting a business in your 20s and 30s and what those personal values are at the time, well, I just think that the longer you work, the more you realize how important those values are. And I would think that when you're doing something like this at midlife, it would be a little different than having done it when you were younger.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I think that the kind of the developmental tasks younger in life, mm-hmm. 20s and 30s, is building competence and, having all those life experiences. By the time we get to this age, it's really more about giving back.
Right? Absolutely.
We don't have to prove ourselves anymore. We know who we are. We've accepted who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we want, and you know, a lot of times through life we haven't been able to express it because we've had to compromise and make adjustments and be practical.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the time to say, you know what, it's my time. And I think this is particularly true for women.
Right.
So, and I've coached many people who have made the transition from being employed to being self-employed. And many of them are really, they can't wait to leave that corporate world. And I see this so much at around midlife that it's just not, it doesn't feel worth it anymore to make those kinds of compromises. And when we really get down to it, it's always because the values haven't been honored. And values are personal. You know, we're each going to have different lists, but I'm talking about things like being able to express your creativity or being adventuresome or being consistent and reliable, having integrity and honesty. But very often in business, we wind up in this collective group where, you know, are the things that have the highest priority in our list of what makes us feel really proud and good and authentic don't get expressed. And so here's a time to really think about that now, because that is going to make your business very solid, number one. It's going to differentiate it. And the third thing is it's going to really make you enjoy it and love it and persist. And that's a good way to be successful.
Yeah, and, you know, I also think that when you do these steps, like a lot of people have an idea in mind for a business, but the more you work at it, the more you kind of, you know, write it out on paper, et cetera, the more clear your mission statement or your vision statement becomes, because you were made to consider these things.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
And then as you go through, you know, when you have a successful business, it can start to gain a momentum of its own, and you just kind of wind up being driven by your business. And having that values, knowing your values and having that mission statement and checking in with it will be a way of staying grounded with what you were, your original intention was.
Right. That sounds perfect. That's so true.
I can give an example of a business, too, because they're so clear about what they value. They actually have been able to differentiate themselves in a way that, to me anyway, stands out as being very effective. And the company is Origins, O-R-I-G-I-N-S.
That's right? the makeup place, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So there are retail stores all over.
Right.
Well, I went to their website, and they don't specifically list their values. Some companies do. They didn't, but I could tell very clearly what their values were. And here's my interpretation of what they value. They value natural ingredients, organic products, a sustainable environment, giving back, beauty, and wellness. Because they're very clear about those things,
mm-hmm.
they are able to make a decision that could be unusual or maybe would be challenged in a company that didn't have these particular values. Because on their website, they don't have as their model what you would usually see for a cosmetics or skincare company, which is, a model or a celebrity. They have Dr. Andrew Weil. W-E-I-L?
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he's the best-selling author and holistic doctor. He's 65 years old, and that's the face of Origins on their website. Now, this is really gives them a very clear differential, but it has a lot of integrity. It mm-hmm. speaks to what they care about and what they believe in. So using your values is not something that's abstract. It's really a way that you can create a difference in your business as well.
Okay, any other thoughts on that whole idea of the values playing an important role?
Well, if you'd like to go through a values exercise, you can find that on my website.
Okay, right, and where is that?
Right on the home page, mm-hmm. boomerbusinesslauncher.com. There's a report that you can download. It's really a workbook, 5 Keys to a Meaningful Business at Midlife.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we can, you know, if you're on the call, you can do that at any time. Okay.
Right, and even if you're listening to this audio at a future time, you should be able to find it on the website.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay. All right, let's see. That should really help, I think, people figure, you know, really put their finger on that by doing that exercise that's on your site. So let's move along to the guidelines for selecting your vision statement time frame. And I think there are 3.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So, again, we're looking at this vision statement, how you write it, within the X number of years into the future. Well, how do you pick? Should I think of 10 years or 5 years? Well, here's what I find in my experience working with clients, and that is that if you have not been in business at all, if you're just starting out, you don't have a track record, it might be hard to think far out into the future. And so although the intention of a vision statement is to be forward thinking, I think it's fine to just write it for the coming year. One year from now, 12 months from now, this is what I see. For some people, it just is more manageable.
Okay.
If you've been in business or you feel confident about it, if you're transitioning into a business of your own from an industry you know well, then you certainly can think longer term. And here's what I think you should think about as you set your time horizon, and that is, what is your exit strategy? And I think many people don't think about that at all. They think of all of this is thinking about, well, how do I start? How do I run it? But the fact of the matter is that someday you won't have this business. And if you know how you want to end that relationship with your business, you are going to be in a position to build a much stronger one.
That is such a good point, because I know so many people who don't think of an exit strategy. And it's all about growing the business. But then you're growing it for something, you know, and hopefully it's to sell it, you know, when the time comes. So, you know, having an exit strategy is so important.
Right. So if you think of a business as an asset, you're growing something of value. It's like putting money in the bank, because as you make this business something that someone else would like to take over, you know, when you're finished with it, then that's a fabulous retirement strategy also. Rather than working and then at your business and then leaving it, and what you did was you provided yourself with a paycheck. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you think of having an exit strategy, then you can think of how you're building value that someone else will pay you for at the end. Or you might also want this to create a career for your children.
Right.
You know, and that's another possibility.
Sure, and I think having that exit strategy in mind makes you be a better business owner, because you know everything has to be recorded well, very organized, and ready to be turned over. And I think that if you're just kind of in business for yourself and you're not considering what's going to happen when you're finished, you can be sloppier. But when you know that somebody's going to be looking at your books, you know, with the thought of purchasing the business, I think it makes a big difference in the way you, you know, stay organized.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great point, because really what people buy when they buy a business is they buy your methodology. They
right.
buy your processes. You know, and they might also buy your customer base or your right. database, but basically you have to have a way of doing your business that someone else can duplicate. can take over for you when you're not there.
Yeah, yeah. So I know that once I started thinking of an exit strategy, I became a little more serious too.
Yeah. So I think this is a good conversation because it's making me realize too and articulate that what you're writing in your vision is something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're creating an entity that's separate from you, this business. It's your baby. It's separate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so let's see. The three guidelines, where are we with those?
Okay, so I told you two. The first
okay.
is if you don't have a track record, then you could, you know, decide on 1 year as your time horizon. If you do have experience or a track record, then looking further ahead, 3, 5, 7, or 10 years would be typical time horizons. And ask yourself, the second guideline is create an exit strategy. Think about at what point in time you would want to leave your business. And then the third thing, just in terms of how you think, the guideline is think of your work style. If you're very task-oriented, you're very concrete in your thinking, then you might be comfortable with a shorter horizon time for your vision statement, you know, because you can really think very clearly what you're going to do in the next 3 years. Other people like to be dreamers, and they like to keep things kind of open-ended, and for that kind of thinking, then you might find it more inspirational to write your vision further out into the future, you know, 7 years from now, 10 years
right,
from now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I could just say, these are some questions you can ask yourself as you're thinking of your time horizon. What legacy do you want to leave?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to show up in the world?
Okay.
If you could have things just the way you'd like them to be, what would it look like? And how long would that journey take?
Well, that's a good one. Yeah. Okay, so shall we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know you talk about expansive realism. So if you can tell us what you mean by that and how to use expansive realism to create a vision that is durable.
Yes.
Okay.
I coined that term, expansive realism, and it's a contradiction in terms. And that's what you need to really embrace in the vision statement, in my opinion. So the expansive part is dreaming big. Give yourself permission to think about exactly how you'd like things to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you had nothing standing in your way, if you had all the resources you needed, the money that you needed, the time that you needed, the knowledge that you needed, the support team, any ingredients that you can imagine, just think, it's all there for you. What would you create? What would this be?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do something like that, when you visualize, it's good to get as many of your senses involved. Think about the colors involved. Think about all of the sensations. Think about imagine yourself in the physical space of your business. Is
mm-hmm.
it in an office building? Is it in your home office? Are you, what location? Did you move someplace? Do you have a virtual business and you travel while you work? How are you dressed?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, even imagine your customers or clients writing you letters or calling you and expressing appreciation for what your business, how your business has solved their problem and helped them. What are they saying? What impact does this have? So give yourself permission to open up to all kinds of possibilities. Then the next part of it, though, is to create some healthy realism, but only after you've really given yourself permission to visualize dreaming big.
So you dream big, and then you have to scale back. Is that how you go about it?
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure because of finances, a lot of people, you can dream very big, but then you have to be realistic and say, okay, that would be great, but here's what I can do.
Right. And the reason I say that is, again, from my own experience of working with people, there are people who are visionary and they love to think big, and this is what they do. You know, it comes naturally to them. But then when they put that in without any kind of checkpoints, they get overwhelmed or they get discouraged because, it's, you know, it's just not really going to happen the way that they have said it. So it's a way of saying, well, okay, if I want to build a $1 million business, and not everyone does, but let's just say you want to do that, then the reality is, okay, well, if you're starting at the beginning and you have zero revenue, how do you get from here to there?
Right.
It, you know, it's possible. Anything's possible. But the idea is then to say, well, how would I do it?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anything else on that expansive realism?
I will just give you, I'll give you a quote from Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Okay.
He said, keep your eyes on the stars and your feet on the ground.
Right.
I think that kind of sums it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I have a resource for people if you do like to brainstorm, and it's a very good way of generating ideas all along as you're working on your business, if you like to do lateral thinking.
Right.
And that's software that I use, and it's called Mind Manager.
Okay.
And it's you can find it at the website www.mindjet.com.
Okay, Mind, J-E-T?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a cost to it, but you can sign up for a free trial. So you can just try it out, see if you like it.
Okay. And you use that on a regular basis or with clients? Or?
I do, and I use it for a lot of different things. I mean, I use it to think about my website. Because, you know, that's lateral.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use it. Brainstorming is a great way to free up your thinking and get imaginative and without having to connect all the dots or be in outline form.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to add a little bit to that. Brainstorming is not to do it alone. I mean, it's good to do alone, but it's also good to incorporate some key people in that brainstorming because I just think that, you know, the more thoughts and the more ideas and the more creativity, the more likely that you'll come up with something that might be outside of the box you were in, you know? So if you have like a board of directors or if you have friends, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people who are launching these businesses on their own, and when someone talks to them about, you know, if they get like a professional call and say, oh, we'd like you to run this by your board of directors, they kind of giggle and they don't say it, but they're thinking, okay, so I'm going to talk to my girlfriends about this, you know? Because, I mean, some people, you know, have to start that way, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I think it's good to brainstorm with others because we tend to kind of get locked into a certain way of thinking, and it's just good to hear someone else's interpretation on the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, I was talking to a client yesterday, and she was reading something to me and said, you know, I have used this language so much already, I've lost my objectivity about it. Does this have meaning to you?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some pitfalls that can undervalue a vision statement and how we can avoid them.
Okay, so I'm not viewing a vision statement as sort of like an academic exercise or something you do and then you forget about. The value of this vision statement is that you're really going to use it. So the undervaluing is, you write it and you say, well, that was fun, and then you just don't share it. So that's one of the pitfalls. So this ties into exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you have a vision, share it with other people.
Right? Yes.
I'm just kind of reiterating, one of the pitfalls is not using your own values as the kind of the foundation for it, not deciding what it should look like, what it has to look like, what other people expect it to be like, because we've done that already in life. And really, it's going to undermine it. So stay true to yourself. That's another pitfall. Don't make it, I find people sometimes have a preconceived notion of how things should sound or appear. Also using language that's jargony, you know, corporate speak,
right,
and I would say don't do that. Keep it real.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is to keep revisiting. Hang it up on your wall over your desk and check in certainly once a year and keep it alive and fresh.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's see, three pitfalls, if you can name them.
So those were the three pitfalls.
Just to summarize.
Not being authentic,
okay.
Not sharing it with others, and not revisiting it, but, you know, writing it once and forgetting about it.
Okay.
Keep it alive.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. All right. Let's see. There's a lot being said about the law of attraction these days. And and actually, I'm a Christian, and so I kind of have a different take on the law of attraction, only because it's just kind of very similar to how I live my Christian life and making my thoughts known to my God. So anyway, I want to hear what you have to say about the law of attraction and how it can be incorporated into creating a vision.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear your perspective.
Sure, sure.
Okay. So a short definition of the law of attraction, this is from Wikipedia. You get what you think about. Your mm-hmm. thoughts determine your experience. The soul attracts both that which it desires and that which it fears. So the law of attraction is based on knowing what you desire and asking the universe for it, focusing your thoughts on the thing desired with great feeling, such as enthusiasm or gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Feel and behave as if what you desire is already acquired, and be open to receiving it.
Okay.
And when you write your vision statement, you are, in fact, then following these laws of attraction because you're creating your intention, you're opening yourself up to it, and presumably opening yourself to receiving it.
Right. Okay. And so basically in using that technique with a vision statement, tell me what you think about that. How does that help?
Well, first of all, putting anything in writing
mm-hmm.
clarifies your thinking, and it creates a record that you can keep looking at and revising, and it makes your thinking much more clear. Very often, it's hard to write when we don't really know what we want to say.
Okay.
So by being able to have the discipline of writing down what we're envisioning for our business, we are in fact forcing ourselves to clarify our thinking. Then by actually stating what it is that we want,
mm-hmm.
it sort of changes our mindset to, and if we focus on that truly, then it changes our mindset. And we start to attract people who are like-minded.
Right.
You know, we just resonate with other people. It's as simple as that. And that then starts to create a lot of positive energy around
right.
doing this.
Right. Okay, and I'll just share a little bit about my feeling as, from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
And that is just that I feel that we're all given gifts. We all have God-given gifts, and when we use them to His glory, when we really sit down and be still and consider what our gifts are, and then we decide to use them for the good of others, it's just a natural, you're really living and working your passion because it's what's within you, and when you have that faith and that confidence and that relationship with your God, then you know that everything that you are doing is what He is calling you to do, and then as you do it, you have the confidence to continue, and for each step, you kind of have Him as your cheerleader, and I think that can give people tremendous confidence and value and know-how and vision because it's coming from God and also from within you. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's beautifully expressed.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, when I started watching The Secret and reading about the law of attraction, et cetera, it really wasn't anything new to me. It's presented in a different way, and I think that's very true with so many things. There's hardly anything new anymore. There's just another way of expressing it. So, okay, anything else on the law of attraction?
I think you're right. And the first law of attraction treatise was written in 1902, which isn't that long ago anyway, but still the fact that it's been so popularized today,
right,
you know, shows that it's been around for a long time. But I think, too, at midlife, you know, our sense of making meaning out of life, mm-hmm. and our sense of understanding what our purpose is, mm-hmm. becomes so much more compelling and important to us than in our younger years. And so I think what you're saying just will ring true for many, many people.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, so many people complain about getting older, and I'll tell you, I feel like this whole midlife thing is such a powerful time, and it's such a comfortable time if we are intentional about making it that way. You know what I mean? I mean, if we switch our mindset from, to, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Just that alone makes a big difference, I think. You know, whether you're just living life or starting a new business or whatever you're doing. So anyway, okay, let's get back to this vision statement.
Okay.
All right, how do we get inspired to set a revenue goal? And this, I think, is really a hard thing to do. Even, you know, if your business doesn't have a track record. I mean, if this is a new business, you're trying to figure out a revenue goal. How do we get inspired to set that?
Yes.
And what tools can we use?
Okay. Right. Yep. So, again, just reviewing what the vision statement is like, it's saying within the next 3 years, grow my company into a certain revenue dollar company, you know, a $100,000 company.
Right.
Okay. So, first of all, that dollar figure doesn't mean money in your pocket. It means the money that the company is generating. And from that, you have to take out your expenses.
Right.
And I think sometimes people are reluctant to put a number down because they think it is their personal earnings, for one thing. And
right.
They have, you know, some barriers about thinking about that.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about the business revenue.
Okay.
I think that for some people it's not a problem at all. Let me just say that right out. They have no problem thinking about money, even if they don't have a track record. They're comfortable around it. But in my experience, many women are not. So think about Bill Gates. I mean, he built a company. He was focused on his business for years and years and years. And now he's about to retire from Microsoft and go full-time into the Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation. Look at the impact he has had on the world by being able to give away all the money that he's accumulated from his business. He's, you know, the biggest philanthropist in history. So if you have any barriers about thinking about the money that your business is going to earn, think about the impact that you can make with the money that you bring in. If for some reason that doesn't feel comfortable for you, how are you going to give back? Now you have the opportunity to secure your own retirement, to fund your grandchildren's college education, to help your children buy a house, to support and donate the things that you care about, the organizations and charities.
Right.
So if altruism is what fuels you, then that can be how you get over that barrier of thinking about the money that you'll be generating.
Mm-hmm.
Also, really think about it from a pragmatic point of view of the purpose of your business from a financial standpoint. Is this something that you want as supplemental income? You don't really need to make a lot. You just want to take the edge off of, you know, any belt tightening you might have to make after you have left your corporate job and you are now getting retirement kinds of sources of income. Do you want to seriously accumulate money for, you know, whatever reason? So have your financial goal in mind as well. Is it small? Is it moderate? Is it big?
Mm-hmm.
And then you really have to give yourself permission to guesstimate. That's what it is. It's going to be a forecast. And as you get closer in time, you can revise it. But that's what everybody does. That's what businesses do. They forecast. I like to say guesstimate. And once they get into, you know, as they go through a number of business cycles, you get better and better at accurate forecasting because you have a historical record.
Right.
But it's still never 100% accurate anyway, so you have to be able to live with that ambiguity. Vision statement is really the beginning of a fuller plan. And so when you put down this number, whatever it is, then, you know, the next step is to reverse engineer it and figure out exactly how you would get to that number. But that's for another time.
Yeah,
for now,
yeah, that's
I think
involved. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Is that clear?
Yeah, yeah. Now, okay. How about clarifying the who and what to focus your business on, if you can tell us what you mean by that?
Yes. Well, this is really the crux of your business. What are you going to be offering? Are you a service business? Are you offering a product? And you can look at this from a couple of different points of view. It can be a really big question. What are you offering? And I invite you to think in these big terms about it. For instance, Starbucks sells coffee. But is that really all that they're selling? Or are they selling an experience where you can go in and you listen to the music and there's very elaborate preparation of your beverage with a different name than you'll find anyplace else, and it's a unique experience, okay? Well, you can also buy a cup of coffee from a vending machine, or you
right.
can buy a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and get in and get out and have a reliable cup of coffee, and it's much less expensive. So here we have three versions of the very same product. Starbucks on the high end, Dunkin' Donuts as sort of the mass market, and vending machine is pure convenience and low cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So where do you want to be? That's called positioning. But where do you want to be? What are you, even if you have a product or a service, what is the total entity, the total experience, the total essence of what you are offering?
So a good idea is to kind of figure out, you know, do I want to be the Starbucks? Do I want to be the vending machine, or do I want to be the Dunkin' Donuts, and then try to figure out, you know, kind of fit your vision into that. Is that what you mean?
Well, yes. I mean, it's part of your vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Do I want to be organic? Do I want to be a restaurant that serves, you know, only locally grown produce?
Right.
You know, so those are defining characteristics, because you don't want to be generic. You want to have defining characteristics. And this, I think, just ties into everything we've been talking about, what you said about using your strengths,
mm-hmm.
you know, using your work style, your values.
Right.
All of these things go into it. Okay. So that's part of it. And also, just very concretely, what is it that you do offer?
Right.
And state it.
Right. And you know, and I like, too, what you said earlier about considering, you know, getting a letter from a future client or something that is happy. What is it they're happy with? And what would make you feel good about what you have to offer that is really going to please other people, and that they're going to be so, like, overwhelmed by it that they're going to write to you? I just like that idea. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yes. Yes, and then that's perfect, because that really then ties into who are you serving.
Right.
Right. So you have to have the match between your offerings and your audience.
Right.
So what's the problem that you can solve
mm-hmm.
for some audience? And I do have to say that, again, in the vision statement you can be expansive and think of all of this, but at some point you want to do market research as well, so that you do make that appropriate match. The market research does tell you, does this market exist, and what is the problem? What are their problems, and how can I solve them?
Right, and I got to tell you, that makes me think back to when I launched Boomer Women Speak over 5 years ago. It was the only website for baby boomer women online. There really was no competition that was just for baby boomers, especially boomer women. And since, oh my gracious, they're just launching all the time. It's just amazing to me. But, you know, so that's something you need to take into consideration, too. I mean, because things change. And,
yes.
And yeah, and, you know, you have to consider that also. And then once those things start changing, you have to be willing to roll with the punches and you know, continue to kind of keep promoting, which is the big thing, marketing, you know, which we're going to talk about at the, on the next teleseminar. But we can't always plan for that change, but we do have to know that things do change.
Yes, and look how visionary you were. Isn't that a perfect example?
Well, you know, I didn't even realize it at the time, to be honest. But anyway, so, all right, how about anything else with the who or what for the on how to focus a business?
Just that go ahead and take your best stab at this now if you have, if you're not established, and realize that this is something that is ongoing work, as you say. You know, once you're in business, you have to always keep refining the who and the what. You have to keep being responsive to your market and understanding the market and understanding the trends that are impacting it.
Right. Okay. Let's see. How about three ways to use this vision statement to build the business and create fulfillment? If you could give us three ways to do that.
Sure. Well, one of the ways is to share it with your, whoever is in your realm, your customers, your vendors, your support team.
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful. People love to be around people who have a vision. It's inspiring. And if you have employees and you have a vision, they're really going to like that because they are pinning their future on your ability to lead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And leaders have vision.
Right, right.
So the first thing I would say to build your business and create fulfillment is to let the world know what your vision is. And I think that the energy that will come back to you will be very fulfilling. The second thing is to use this as the starting point for a business plan. You need to have the vision. Every business that has been successful, you know, has something. They do know what they're building. And so, but then the work of actually filling in those details is what keeps it going.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, so the three ways, do you want to wrap them up?
Okay, well, so I told you two so far.
Okay.
To share with your customers, your vendors, your support team, and to use the vision statement as the beginning of a business plan, which actually can be very short. I'm not talking about a 30-page document. I'm talking about something that's short and doable. And the third thing is to take your vision statement and create, I'll call it an elevator speech from it, a way
mm-hmm.
of communicating sort of the higher good and the expansive thinking and the ideals of your company and what it is that you have created for others to be inspired, for the press and for others.
Mm-hmm. I love that elevator speech idea. That is so true. You really have to have, when you want to explain, in case somebody's never heard that term, what that is.
Yes. Rosabeth Moss Kanter is a professor at the Harvard Business School, and she has been named one of the 50 most influential business thinkers in the world. And I believe, I'm not positive, I'm pretty sure she was the first woman to get tenure at Harvard Business School.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she says, a vision is not just a picture of what could be, it is an appeal to our better selves, a call to becoming something more. Isn't that a wonderful
I love that. Yeah.
Point to be at this stage in our lives?
Really. Absolutely. So basically, what Amy's talking about with the elevator speech is you should be able to describe your business. If you're in an elevator and somebody's standing on the other side of the door and the door is closing, you should be able very quickly to explain what your business is, what your mission is. And because you really need to have it in wrapped up really nice and tight because you don't want to stand there and ramble and people are like, now wait a minute, what exactly is this? If you can say it briefly, I think it has more punch. So
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see, Amy. I think, is there anything else there that you want to mention?
Well, I can give you a few resources.
Sure. I would love the resources. And whether they're websites or books, that would be great.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, many businesses do write a vision or a mission, and actually those two words are sometimes interchanged. There's no standard definition for either of them. So there's a website that's called www.missionexpert.com.
Okay.
And if you go to that site and click on resources, there's a search tool for finding mission statements of other organizations and businesses. So you can type in the name of a company or an industry or a keyword, and it searches the web and comes up with their company's website where their mission statement is listed. And again, it says mission statement, but you can use that. We can use that interchangeably with vision.
Right.
So that's one thing. Then there are two books that talk about vision, and one is called Big Vision, Small Business, Four Keys to Success Without Growing Big, and that's by Jamie S. Walters.
And is that available probably on Amazon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the one-page business plan, and actually the vision statement template is from that book, and that's by Jim Horan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also on Amazon.
Okay. Any other website? Or you want to tell us anything else you have on your website that might be helpful?
Well, yes, I have a blog, and there's lots of content on that site, including some audio and just good business building information. And I have the special report, and if you go to Free Stuff, you'll find other tips and tools for growing your business.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, I just want to mention a couple things, too. At the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, we have a few associates who might be able to help with some of this information, too. Jennifer Kalita is our entrepreneur associate, and she really works with people at midlife also. And you just might want to browse the site and read some of the articles written by her, too. In addition to that, a resource that I used way back when was the Small Business Administration. I've got to tell you, I was so impressed because what they offer for free. And they would hold seminars at our local library, and you could even go and meet with someone at the Small Business Administration, and they would help you with your vision plan or, you know, trying to figure out what your income or, you know, might be for that first year and what your expenses will be. I mean, they are just wonderful. A lot of the people are retired, and they just enjoy helping people launch new businesses. And they also have a great website, which is, I think it's SBA, for smallbusinessadministration.gov. Have you ever used that site, Amy?
Oh, yes. Of course, I have.
Is it SBA.gov? Is that what it is? I think that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So, anyway, and they have, you can just get lost for days on that website, and the information is really very helpful. And, of course, you know, as you go along and you find stuff that you like, you can just print it and, you know, put together a folder and then go back and read it all at one time. I did a lot of that when doing research. So,
yes.
Any other thoughts or ideas, Amy, before we sign off?
Well, I will tell you a little bit about two programs. That I have that might be helpful.
Okay.
One is the Business Plan Action Group, and actually the Small Business Development Centers of one state has encouraged people from that state to take the program, and actually the Small Business Development Centers are part of the SBA, because many people who go to write a business plan don't finish it. They get overwhelmed and they just don't finish. It's not an easy thing to do, but I use a method that is easy to do and that you can do in a way that where you actually use the plan after you write it also, because it's not long and cumbersome. So anyway, if anyone's interested in that, you can go to www.businessplanactiongroup.com. It's a group coaching program, and at the end of it you have your your short business plan.
Okay, and you know what? I would just like to say something about coaching, because I have been coached for several different things with my business. And I've got to tell you, I love it, because you are held accountable from week to week, and you also kind of have someone holding your hand, walking you through it, and you know that you are going to finish or accomplish what you set out to do. And I think that's the most important thing about coaching, because, you know, when you work on your own and you have your own business, you can have these great ideas and you kind of get into it. I know I've done this in the past. And then you get sidetracked because so many other things are going on. And even though that's a great idea, you don't have anyone holding you accountable, and then you just don't get back to it. And a year later, you can say, oh, my gosh, never followed through with that. And it was such a great idea, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I think that coaching is just so important, whether it's for something personal or you know, business. Something with your business, I can't say enough good things about it, because I know, like, even this summer I was being coached for something, and I was on vacation, and I knew when I came back on Monday I had to have something prepared, and had I not been accountable to my coach on that Monday, there is no way I would have gotten it done, and I may have put it off. So I recommend that. Okay, yes. And go ahead. What else do you have, Amy?
I have a call. It's the Boomer Business Launcher Discovery Program. So if you're at a point where you really are thinking about having a business but you don't really know where you're headed,
mm-hmm.
then this is a program that can appeal to you.
So okay, and is that one-on-one, or is a group, or how is that done?
Yes, it's a group program. It's
okay.
4 weeks,
okay.
And it's a discovery process that will help you clarify your business, understand your strengths and your values, and we look at business models and how they match up to your particular interests, values, passion. So you can come out really ready to get going on building your vision.
Okay, very good. I mean, I think that's great. Any time that you know that you can accomplish something in a month, I think that's wonderful. So okay.
That's also at boomerbusinesslauncher.com. Just look under services.
Okay. Okay, so we are pretty much ready to wrap this up, but I just want to let you know that the second part of our series will be about marketing these businesses, and Amy's going to do that for us. So look for that teleseminar in the future. And then the third in the series is going to be with Kathleen Gage, who is going to talk to us about internet marketing, so that if we have a business, and many, you know, not everybody has a virtual business, of course, you know, but most businesses do have websites. And so what Kathleen's going to do is she's going to talk to us from a couple of perspectives, one as a virtual business owner only, but also as someone who has both. You know, they may have a store or a shop or offer services in their town, that type of thing. But the importance of also having a website and what you can do with that website to increase your business. So it's a good series, and I want to thank Amy for being a part of it. And I would just like to encourage everyone to visit BoomerWomenSpeak.com and NABBW.com. If you're not a member, consider joining. And don't forget, you can email me at dots@NABBW.com, and I can send you a link to join for $60. And that's an annual fee, and you get so many different benefits. And but one that a lot of people are really enjoying is the teleseminars that are archived on the site. But there are many other opportunities to network and just remain educated about all things Boomer Women, whether it's caring for our aging parents. We don't just address the business side. We address the whole woman. So, you know, last month our series was about women's health at midlife. So those are archived. That information is also archived on our site. Next month we're going to be doing travel, traveling at midlife, whether it's with a spouse, a partner, grandchildren, family, friends, whatever it is, and we're going to address that. So anyway, we hope that you'll visit our sites, and if you have any questions, feel free to call me at 877 877- B-Boomer, as in Baby Boomer. Thanks so much. And Amy, thank you. And we'll be back in touch with you for the next piece of this plan.
Thanks, Betsy. It's really been a pleasure to do this with you. And I also really recommend everyone visit the website for National Association of Baby Boomer Women and join.
Well, thanks. Thank you. Okay, I'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.